Good afternoon, everyone. Hope everyone's having fun here in New Orleans and at the APHA conference. I want to thank APHA to begin with for giving me the opportunity to share this information with you. One of the many things that we're doing in LA County Department of Public Health to improve the health and well-being of our Angelenos. My name is Hector Ornelas. I'm the Planning Public Health Nurse for Community Health Services Administration in LA County Department of Public Health. And today I'm going to share with you how we're beginning to use geographic information system to plan out outreaches out in the community, more specifically in this case, our 2013-2014 flu season, outreaches for the 2013-2014 flu season. Before I begin my presentation, I just want to let you know that I have no relationships to disclose. There's two objectives for today. The first one is to describe how Geographic Information System, or GIS for short, and 2010 Census Bureau Census Tract data can be used to strategically target and immunize the most vulnerable and underserved populations against the flu in LA County. And secondly, can you hear me now? Yes. And secondly, to describe how GIS can be used as a data-driven tool to improve healthcare practices and more effectively plan community interventions. Now, this is more of a long-term objective, the second one here. So just a little background. Every year, the LA County Department of Public Health's Community Health Services Program plans over 120 community outreaches throughout the 8 service planning areas, or SPAs for short, to immunize individuals against the flu. So historically, the outreach sites have been selected based on community agency requests and previous partnerships. Although many of our communities in LA County are underserved, there are groups of people that are more vulnerable to the effects of the flu that these outreaches may not necessarily be reaching out to. So we posed the question, has this practice been effective at targeting the most vulnerable populations? So based on flu morbidity and mortality statistics, CHS decided to target 4 vulnerable groups during the 2013-2014 flu season: youth, seniors, immunocompromised, and the homeless. And these are the reasons why we chose these groups. According to the LA County Department of Public Health's 2010 mortality report, influenza, along with pneumonia, is the 6th leading cause of death in LA County. Persons at risk for medical complications attributable to severe influenza include children under 5 years of age, persons over 65, those who are immunocompromised, and adults and children with chronic diseases such as asthma and diabetes. According to the CDC, persons under 5 years of age and over 65 have the highest rates of influenza-associated deaths. As you can see, almost half of pediatric deaths are among children under 5 years of age. Children and teens ages 5 to 17 are also highly affected, especially those suffering from chronic diseases such as asthma. Influenza infection, mortality, and morbidity rates among homeless populations are unknown. However, homeless individuals are at an increased risk for contracting the flu and suffering health complications due to crowded unsanitary living conditions, poor ventilation in many shelters, high rates of chronic diseases, stressed immune systems due to the environments that they live in, and close contact with highly transient people. So what exactly is GIS? For those that are not familiar with what GIS is, it's a system that integrates hardware, software, and data for capturing, managing, analyzing, and displaying all forms of geographically referenced information. It allows us to view, understand, question, interpret, and visualize data in many ways that reveal relationships, patterns, and trends in the form of maps, globes, reports, and charts. It helps you answer questions and solve problems by looking at your data in a way that is quickly understood and easily shared. So we use GIS to visualize and spatially analyze two of the four chosen vulnerable groups, children and seniors. And the reason why we chose these to analyze only these two groups, at least initially, was because it was fairly easy to extract accurate data for these two groups, which is a very important consideration when using GIS. And of course, for our profession, we want to use real data. We don't want to just use fake data that's biased. So for example, for the homeless population, it's a little difficult since they're very transient. You don't really know where they hang out. It might change, their hangouts might change. In LA County, we do have the homeless count, but that, again, is just a guesstimation, and it's a little difficult to extract that data and use it for this purpose. I also want to let you guys know that this initial analysis was actually done post-planning of the flu outreach sites. We thought about using GIS and sort of evaluating whether the scheduled sites would fall within these vulnerable groups to see how we're actually doing without using GIS. But ideally, and what the plan is for the future is to actually incorporate the use of GIS when we're planning not only flu outreaches, but other community outreaches. So let's start looking at some maps. What we did first is we plotted out all the flu outreach sites on our LA County service planning area map. So this is a map of LA County, and you could see on your right there's 8 service planning areas, and they're represented by a different color on the map. As you can see, all the green dots here are all the scheduled flu outreach sites for the 2013-2014 flu season, which totaled 139. And on the right, you could also see the table of spots 1 through 8 and the number of flu outreaches that were actually scheduled for each spot. Then using Census Bureau data, we looked at population density. This map here on this slide is a choral cleft map, also known as a thematic map, which is used to visualize how a measurement varies across a geographic area. This map specifically shows the population density for individuals less than or equal to 17 years of age, so our youth population. And the light yellow colors or light yellow areas are areas of lowest density. And then as the shades get a little darker up to brown, it represents a higher density in those populations, in those areas. Before I show you the next map, I want to briefly discuss hotspot analysis. So what is hotspot analysis? So density tells you where clusters in your data exist, but not if your clusters are statistically significant. Statistical significance in our practice is very important, right? Because we base all our services, all our practice on evidence-based practice. So the hotspot analysis is a tool that is used to identify statistically significant spatial clusters of high values that are indicated by hotspots and low values indicated as cold spots. In statistics, as we know, p-values and z-scores are used to determine whether measured phenomena are statistically significant. P-values and z-scores are associated with the standard normal distribution, also known as the bell curve, shown on this slide. Features on the data that will fall somewhere in this curve, features with very high or very low z-scores associated with very small p-values fall within the tails of the bell curve and indicate statistical significance. So they would fall under here. So a hotspot analysis tool works by looking at each feature within the context of a neighboring feature. So to be a statistically significant hotspot, a feature will have a high value and be surrounded by other features with high values. And the same thing goes for cold spots. So low values surrounded by low values. And the higher or lower the z-score, the more intense the clustering. So why use hotspot analysis? The reason for using hotspot analysis is that it can tell us a slightly different story when we're looking at data. Here we did a hotspot analysis of our youth population, so basically the same population that plotted out on the other map. We did a hotspot analysis on this map, and the orange areas are actually the hotspots, and then the cold spots are the blue areas. And the darker the color gets, the more significant it is, the more intense the clustering in that area. So if we compare the two maps side by side, we can see that there is a slight difference between the two. For example, some dark brown areas shown on the coral cleft map on your right are not shown as hotspots on the map on the left. So for example, here's a lighter shade of brown, and here you can see that there's it's not considered a hotspot. So although the coral cleft map is very helpful in looking at population density, it can be a bit subjective depending on the number of classes or the number of shades that you utilize to visualize the density on the map. So for this map, I used four classes, so four different shades of yellow to brown. So the map would look completely different if I would have used, say, six, seven classes, or even three classes. I can assure you that if I would use three classes on here, you will see a whole lot more brown shaded areas, which wouldn't give you much information based on just that map. So the hotspot analysis eliminates this subjectivity by only looking at statistically significant clusters. And this type of analysis allows us to really hone in on those areas of greatest need. And it's especially important when our resources are scarce. So say, for example, if one year, for whatever reason, our resources are scarce, and we're only able to do five flu outreaches throughout LA County, you wouldn't do an outreach here because it's not statistically significant. So there isn't that big of a population of a vulnerable group there in that area. You would do it here instead, in the circled area. So as you can see on the coral cleft map on your right, the first circled area that was a sort of shade of tan, if this is the only map that you would have to sort of compare, you would start considering maybe having a flu outreach there. But if our resources are that scarce, it wouldn't be a good idea to have a flu outreach there. Rather, we would prefer to have it here. We then added a 5-mile buffer zone to see how many of the sites were within a 5-mile radius of a hotspot. So this is, again, we're looking at the youth. And the findings showed that about 92.8% of the sites were within or at close proximity to these hotspots with high clusters of youth less than or equal to 17 years of age. Now let's look at population density for seniors greater than or equal to 65 years of age. Again, this is the coral cleft map, which is just visualizing population density based on the four classes that we're using here. And here's the hotspot analysis for our senior population. And then a comparison side by side. Again, some dark spots on the coral cleft map are not shown as hot spots on the left, on the hotspot analysis map. And then the 5-mile buffer. So findings showed that about 87.8% of sites were within a 5-mile radius of a hotspot for seniors. So based on our hotspot analysis, Community Health Services found that 92.8% and 87.8% of flu outreach sites were within 5 miles of youth and senior hotspots, respectively. A lower percent of flu outreach sites were observed to be within 1 and 3 miles of youth and senior hotspots. For example, although 92.8% of the flu outreaches were within a 5-mile radius of a youth hotspot, when we look at a 3-mile radius, we can see that only 83.5% was of the sites were within a hot spot. And then we're looking at a 1 mile distance, only 47.5% of the sites were actually within a hot spot. So 5 miles to us might not be that much, right? But when we're looking at the population that we're serving, and they're a low income community, we could see that they may lack transportation, and this could become a barrier. So using this as a more strategic plan to plan out outreaches can be very beneficial, so that we could reach out to those vulnerable groups. So some barriers to using GIS: the cost of training. GIS can be very expensive. Luckily, we have our own GIS coordinator in the department that offers free workshops. We just basically have to get permission from our supervisors to go to one of these workshops. And there's a learning curve. It can get a bit complicated, and it takes time to learn it. So taking one workshop, one session, is not enough. This is a very meticulous type of work, and you definitely have to be computer savvy. If you're not computer savvy, you're going to be completely lost, and you need to have a lot of patience. Also, depending on the network that you're on and the hardware that you use, it could definitely affect and slow down the software that you're using for GIS. So some recommendations for future planning would be to incorporate geospatial analysis of data when planning community interventions, and using GIS as a tool to track progress of community interventions and make comparisons through the years. So in conclusion, GIS can be used as a data-driven tool to improve healthcare practices and more effectively plan community interventions, including future flu outreaches, by targeting and allocating resources to areas of greatest need. GIS maps are an effective teaching tool to educate community stakeholders and increase awareness of specific issues affecting certain areas. So this second point is really important. When you start presenting and using GIS as sort of a tool, you could see that it greatly impacts the community members that you are presenting to. It really does impact them when they start seeing that there are certain areas that are impacted more than others, and especially when they're living within those areas. One great example is I served as a chair in a subcommittee for Connect to Protect, excuse me, which is a project that is focused on decreasing HIV and STD rates among youth, especially youth of color. And so we presented HIV hotspot maps to a group of college students, and you could see their immediate reaction and how they were just really, really excited, or not excited, but really impressed. They were shocked at how they were the hotspots. They lived, a lot of them lived within or went to school within these areas that were hotspots, and it definitely got them asking questions and wanting to do something about it. They definitely mobilized and formed a group to try to increase awareness among their colleagues at school, and just to try to make a difference, take some action. So I just want to give special thanks to our Community Health Services Administration team and our team at the Office of Health Assessment and Epidemiology. This was a joint effort, and I couldn't have done it without them. I mean, I certainly couldn't have done it without sitting down with our GIS coordinator and learning how to do GIS. I'm certainly still a rookie at this. But it's a really cool tool to use. And I'll take questions for anyone that would like to ask and have some questions at the end of the session. Thank you.